There's a verse in Isaiah 41:13 that says, For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. From the first song, we heard some phrases about fear not, that he's going to be our friend. When God was giving me this message, I knew that it was a message of encouragement, but I was flooded with so many verses, and I have a lot of verses. May the Lord help me to condense it. It also says in Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isn't that encouraging? I don't think I've ever read these verses when I'm like, I read the Bible every day, and I don't know how many times since age 11 I've read the Bible, and 57 now over and over again, and every time I read these, I say, why does it encourage me every time? They're such simple words, but it's because of who it's speaking about. Our eternal loving Abba Father that's always there for us. There was once a woman that started a journey on a bus, and it was a long journey. Excuse me. And there was a little boy on the journey, a friend of her, sitting all by himself in the bus. And they'd stop in a city, and people would get off and on. And pretty soon, they made many stops, and all of the people that had been in there originally had gotten off, and the little boy was still sitting alone in front of her. And she tapped on his shoulder and said, honey, aren't you afraid to be here all alone? You're all alone. I've been sitting, where are your parents? Aren't you afraid to be all alone? And he said, no. I said, why aren't you afraid? Oh, because my dad's a bus driver. And people look at us and they wonder why we are not dismayed, frightened. I want to make sure that we understand that fear is the human emotion that God gave us. Sometimes protects us from evil and wicked things. It's good to have a godly fear. First of all, it's a God-given thing, but there's also an emotional fear that's good. But the devil, Satan, will take that good emotion and turn it into something that could be detrimental to us. And that's why God says, fear not. Obviously, he knows we're going to fear. But he says, fear not, for I am with thee. And that little boy, it appeared to that woman that he was all alone. But little did she know that the one in charge of the bus, the owner of the bus, in fact, was her father, was his father. And I'm thankful that I can say my bus driver, the one who's leading and guiding my life, is my father. And I don't need to fear where he takes me. I don't need to fear if other people get off of the bus and leave and don't come back. I have the one who's guiding me, holding my hand. Thank the Lord. And you do too if you're his child. When I was very young, maybe second grade, I started fearing going to school. There was a bully there. And he'd bully me daily, telling me this about myself and that about myself. And then one day he said, I'm going to beat you up. And I was so scared to go to school because he was bigger than I was and another grade, one or two grades higher than I was. And I was fearful. And then I remembered that I had a cousin in the same grade, bigger than this bully, in the same school. And I went and talked to my cousin, and I explained to him that this bully was bullying me. He says, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And sure enough, he was watching me from a distance. When the bully came to me again, he walked up and said a few words, and the bully just basically put his tail between his leg and went off whimping and whimpering. We have a bully, the enemy of our souls. He roars. I heard somewhere that when the lion roars, it petrifies, it paralyzes its victim with a roar, and then he's able to go in for the attack and to capture. And Satan will roar at us, and use our emotion of fear as a weapon against us to paralyze us. And God comes sweetly saying with the Holy Spirit, "Fear not, I am with thee. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee." I was so thankful for my big cousin, Michael. And I'm thankful for my brother, Jesus Christ. The bully is no match for him, saints. You know it and I know it. But sometimes he can puff up and look pretty strong. But Jesus says, "Fear not. I am with thee. I will uphold thee. I will strengthen thee." So this message, fear not, but be courageous. Fear not, but be courageous. In Psalms 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, through the waters, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. I thought about the mountains, the earth be removed, and the mountains be carried away. Mountains in the Bible often speak of people in authority, people that we look up to. And in my lifetime, I've had people that I looked up to, kind of like we were heard. And it has shaken me when they've lost their faith and gone back. But here it's encouraging us. The psalmist saying, God is our refuge. Therefore will I not fear, though. And you can put, though what? Though my marriage fall apart, though my business go down the drain, though the United States economy fall apart, not to add fear, but many banks are closing, shutting down. But we as God's people can rest. God's saying to us, fear not. I am with thee. I will uphold thee. Be of good courage. In Genesis 15, verse 1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And I often think of the president and of the pope. They usually go to areas, visit countries, and there's tons of people around them. And you can be sure that amongst those people, there are enemies that would like to do away with the pope or with the president. And they often have in front of them bulletproof windows to protect them. They often have guards dressed in bulletproof clothing ready to fall on them to take the shot for them. And I'm so thankful for the one that I have. We've not been left comfortless, saints. Comfortless. We have the Holy Spirit. We have Jesus with us. He says, "And lo, I am with you unto the end of the world." In Ephesians 6, 13 through 16, it speaks about all the wonderful parts about the armor of God. It mentions the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace. It mentions the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. But it says above all. Who can tell me above all? Which one is that one? It says above all, take what? Anybody know? The shield of faith, I think Sister Marcia said. Take the shield of faith. And I wonder why it says above all. Because Satan knows if he can take away our faith in God, shake our faith, we've lost it all. The shield of faith. And the sword of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is very important, but he cannot work with us if we've lost our faith. And I'm so thankful for the shield of faith. Let's hold it up, saints. If we have the shield of faith, the devil cannot penetrate our hearts with fear. Amen? One time, maybe some of you know that, by the way, my name is Tony Sanchez. My wife is Lisette, and we've been part of the Church of God, well, since we're saved, but a part of this body right here. Since 2007, we met the first saints in 2003. And in 2007, the Lord called us to preach in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico. I was called to preach at age 11. At age 19, yielded. Started preaching in Babylon at age 20 to 29. And anyway, just recently, the last 16 years, we've been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in Ciudad Juarez, Chihuahua, Mexico. This is Texas. Here's the border. And across the border is Mexico. And on the other side of the border, here's El Paso. And the other side is Ciudad Juarez, Chihuahua, Mexico. The city is called Chihuahua. The state is called Juarez. The state is Chihuahua. The country is Mexico. And the Lord, one time when we first started going there, about the first 9 months, we rented a building on the fourth floor. At that time, from 2008 to 2011, Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, where we preached, became the most dangerous city in the whole world. And El Paso, where we lived, became the most safest city in the whole world. So God caused us to live in the safest city, but to go out and preach His word in the most dangerous city, you can Google it, in the whole world, because of the drug lords and the shooting that was being continually going on during those years. And so we were preaching and having services on the fourth floor, and we'd have from 50 to 60 people show up from the streets, prostitutes, homosexuals, thieves, men that had killed their mother, all kinds of horrible people, and very hardened criminals. Some of them had been cast from the United States back into Mexico, and they were very bitter. And they'd come, we'd feed them, shower them, offer them everything they needed, and apart from the most important, give them the Word of God. And we would kneel down, following the pattern of the Church of God, that we kneel down when we pray in the service. But many of them would not kneel down. And there's a few of us kneeling down. And one time we kneeled down, and there's bullets started everywhere. Because the drug lords would fight with the other drug lords and shoot one another. And I looked up, and all these hardened criminals that didn't want to kneel down, they all knelt down all of a sudden. Everybody was kneeling down. Nobody was sitting down in seats in the service. So there's sometimes a good fear. God can use a fear to humble us sometimes. Sometimes it's good to fear a little bit. Have the right type of fear. But I'm so thankful that the Lord has taken away a fear that would hinder me from preaching the gospel. Many times my mother would call, the set's mother would call and say, I just saw on the news that they killed 200 people last week in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, or whatever. Aren't you afraid? We go, no, Mom. God called us to preach in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico. Actually, I'd be more afraid not to go than to go, because I'd be going against God's will, and I fear God more than I fear the bullets. And so we kept on going. We get a power horn speaker, you know, like the police use, and we stand in front of the bars. Do you know the Bible teaches that all drunkards shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven? In front of the brothels full of women are selling their bodies. And men would come out crying. The women that sold their bodies would cry and weep and pray to be saved. If we're fearful, God cannot use us. That's why he says, fear not. In and of ourselves, we have all reason to fear. But if we know God has called us to do something, he says, fear not. I am with thee. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee. I've entered prisons from age 23. Visited with prisoners. Imprisoning, visiting areas. But in Mexico, it's different. It's called Cerezo, and I visited that prison for almost 2 years to teach a young man that had come to our services but was made a mistake and was in prison. And when you go in there, it's like a little community. All the prisoners are free walking around selling things and talking to one another. Criminals, people that shot people, strangled people, blew up people, burned people, stole, killed. They did everything. And for most people, it would be a frightening experience to go through one corridor and then enter another corridor, another corridor. And they test you as you enter in each corridor, like five corridors. And then finally you get inside and all these hardened criminals walking around. And you know what? They'd invite me to preach. I preached maybe 10 messages, but apart from that, to a crowd of prisoners that were listening, right there they could have lurched at me and strangled me or killed me while I was preaching if they didn't like something. But I didn't fear. Because I feared more going against God's will. I had to hand out Church of God invitations, and these big criminals with tattoos, tough, they'd start crying as I talked to them. And then they'd find out, and then others would come and ask me, what about this and what about the Brother Tony, pray for me and this and that. And it was a wonderful experience without any fear, because God strengthened me, and he can strengthen you too to do his will. Fear not. In Joshua, I love these verses. I always have every time. I just finished reading the whole book of Joshua, and that's why the Lord started speaking to me about fearing not. The first chapter of Joshua, verse 2, Moses, my servant, Moses had just died, and he left Joshua in charge in his place to carry the people of God into the promised land, Canaan, that symbolizes for us sanctification, a land flowing with milk and honey. Joshua 1:2, Moses, my servant, is dead now. Therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give thee, even to the children of Israel. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. 6, be strong. God told this to Joshua, but he's telling you today, be strong. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance. I want us to focus on the word inheritance. The land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And in verse 9, have I not commanded thee? Listen, it's a commandment. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Saints, is with us. Sometimes one thing after another can happen, and we can get fearful and dismayed, but God says, I'm with you. Whithersoever thou goest, I'm with you. And then the last part of verse 14 says, all the mighty men of valor and help them. Focus on the word inheritance. This is a land flowing with milk and honey. Recently, some of the saints that we're working with, they're two single women raising children, and we're helping them. And through you saints, we buy them groceries and supply their needs, education for the kids, etc., everything they need. Thank you, saints. What I want to say about this is someone gave them both a dog, two bulldogs, to one of the saints, a male bulldog and a female bulldog. And those dogs, I was afraid they were going to keep us from going to the house because they were barking at us as we'd enter. And they had them on a leash, and we're concerned that all the dogs like me, but this dog was and pull at the leash. And I said, oh, Lord, help us. Well, I said, you know what? I always win the cats and dogs by feeding them. So I brought some leftover chicken, fried chicken, and I threw it at him. And he'd gobble it up. You know, from then on, he stopped barking at me. And he'd wait with his tag wet and wagging like that. And the same way for the female. They said that dog was ferocious. I fed her, and after that, she stopped barking at me and would wait for me. When they hear my voice, they'd wait because they were waiting for something good. Joshua and the children of Israel were going to cross, and they were going to enter the land of milk and honey. And you know, that's what wins us to our Lord. The Bible says in John 6:48, I am the bread of life. He that eateth of the bread shall live forever. Have you tasted of that bread? You know, when we feed on Jesus and have him feed us, it takes away all fear about him. Are you fearful to serve the Lord? Let him feed you. Accept what he's given you. John 10:9, I am the door, said Jesus. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus leads us. He is our good shepherd that leads us to the green pastures. And how can we fear such a shepherd? How can we say rules and regulations? Oh, it's hard to serve the Lord. Oh, it's so difficult. I can barely make it. No, saints. I love eating toast. Well, I used to. I'm trying to avoid gluten now, but I loved eating toast with, in the morning, toast it with peanut butter and jelly on top. Mmm, it is delicious. For the body and the mouth and the palate, how much more the bread of life that comes out freshly out of the oven. Mmm, Jesus Christ is delicious. It says also in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of God's word that ye may grow thereby. What will help us to stop fearing our Lord? Get into the word of God. Feed in the green pastures. Eat of the bread of life. Come to the services and listen to the word of God. I encourage you to go to churchofgodpreaching.com and listen to the messages and feed. And you know why some people are so bitter and roaring? They're afraid. They're afraid that if they give their life to Jesus, it's going to be miserable and disappointing. I want to tell you, it's wonderful to serve the Lord. It's exceeding abundantly wonderful above all we could ever ask or think. Amen. Feed on Jesus and your fear will go away. Joshua chapter 3, 15. And as they that bear the ark were come to Jordan. Remember the priests were crossing into Jordan. And the Jordan was overflowing in its banks. And there's some people who don't know how to swim. Some people are really afraid of water. But I am sure that even in Mexico, there's a small river that flows. And many children have gotten in there to swim. And the currents are so hard that it sucks them underneath the water and it drowns them. And I'm sure these currents were pretty tough. And these men knew that if they got in the water and got in too deep crossing, they would be carried away. And they had to have been willing to lose their life to cross. We're bearing the ark, we're obeying God, but it's going to mean we're going to die. But God said, fear not. He said, Joshua 3:15, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks, all the time of harvest. That what, saints? What happened? It says that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up and heaped very far from the city. Adam, that is beside Zar Etan, and those that came down towards the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over the Jordan. They could have feared to take the first step, because the first step meant taking a second step and a third step and getting deeper and maybe being carried away. And they're holding on to the ark. I can just imagine they couldn't swim because they'd want to hold onto the ark, because that represented the Holy Spirit, God's presence. And they would have. They had to take the first step in faith. And sometimes it's fearful to take the first step in faith, but it's required of us. It's required of us to. For someone to be saved, they must take the first step. Jesus comes and says, give yourself to me. Trust me. Oh, repent of your sin. I love you. I died for you. I shed my blood for you. Won't you give your heart to me? And we're fearful. I have to give up this. I have to stop. I have to start doing that and this and this and that. What are my friends going to think? What is my Aunt Jemima going to think? What is my Uncle Jinjin going to say? Amen? And fear begins. But when we take the first step, after Jesus calls us and we believe, repent, confess our sins to him, the waters are going to part. Those floodwaters of sin that were threatening to us will be dried up. They walked on dry ground. Let us not be afraid to take the first step. Have you taken that first step, my friend? If you haven't, do it. Is God calling you into a deeper service of consecration? Are you fearful? Yield and confess it to someone. Tell someone. That will make it firmer. They can give you counsel on what to do. They can encourage you. 1 Samuel 17, 50. We know the story of David. Remember that all the mighty men of valor were wimpy and shaken in a corner because there was a Goliath. David was just a shepherd. This is in 1 Samuel 17, 50. Well, let's start. There's so many verses, I won't read them all. Just tell it from my heart. Goliath was facing Israel. David came forward and said, let's read verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Today the message is, fear not, but be courageous. These men were afraid. These were God's battle men. God had fought some battles for them. They had won some battles. But this, something about this giant, something, there's something about some of the battles that we face that seem like, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this one. Well, he helped me through that one, but this one, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to make it. You ever feel that way? It's just too many things happening at one time. I don't know if I can make it. That's the way they felt, and they were trembling, so afraid. But here came little David, verse 29, and David said, what have I done now? His brothers were judging him. They said he was proud. He came to see the battle. Is there not a cause? Verse 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Verse 36, and the servant slew both the lion and the bear. He told about when the lion and the bear appeared, and he said, this Philistine will be like him. What I appreciate about this, it doesn't say that David went forward but trembling. It doesn't say that he walked forward. It says that he ran towards Goliath. After he picked up the 5 smooth stones and the sling, he ran towards them. That's something, isn't it? He was not fearful at all. Why? Because he was trusting in his own power? No, he was trusting in a God that does not fail. A God that is almighty, all-powerful, the creator of heaven and earth, the one that created us. How can we fear if he's with us? But sometimes we do. But we have our example in David that ran to do God's will. He didn't say, well, if I have to, maybe somebody else will do it. He ran. May the Lord help us, saints. He didn't come to him with a sword. He didn't come to him with man-made armor. He came to him in the name of the Lord of hosts, the living God, in faith. God directed the stone. It could have been going that way, and he directed it right. Boom, he fell down. He ran to him, cut off his head. Oh, may the Lord help us to have that kind, to be a mighty man of valor and not a fearful wimp. For God is with us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Speaking to myself, too, saints. And I love these words of my Savior in Matthew 8, 24. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, and so much that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Jesus was asleep. We all are familiar with this. 25, Matthew 8, 25. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Help us. 26. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? Oh, ye of little faith. And he rose, and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Someone once said, the presence of fear does not mean you have no faith. Fear visits everyone. But make your fear a visitor and not a resident. That was Max Lucado. Fear is going to come, but let's not serve it a little bit of drink and feed it. Let's rebuke it in Jesus' name. I rebuke you, fear. I rebuke you, spirit of fear. The disciples were new. They weren't even sanctified yet. They had seen him do miracles, but this had not occurred. There were fishermen even. I don't know which ones were on, but there were some that were fishermen. They'd seen storms, but there was something exceptional about the storm that made them fear. It was a wild storm, something that they've never seen before. Something they felt they could not handle. They would have tried. And they knew who, you know what, sometimes we condemn them, but you know what? They knew who to go to. They woke him up. And in our moments of fear, saints, we know who we can call on. Sometimes we wait till the last minute. We've tried everything and it doesn't work. Now we're going to cry. No, let's call on him first. And he will cause for there to be a great calm. And when we have fear, we can say, Lord, increase our faith. We can say, Lord, help thou my unbelief, and he will. Same incident says in Mark 4:40, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? So you notice that faith is connected to fear. If our faith is weak, we're going to fear. If our faith is strong in the Lord, the devil can't, he can't have an edgewise on us. Amen? He can't get in. Amen? I love the story about, remember when Elisha was surrounded, the king of Syria came to Dothan where his servant, Elisha and his servant were. And the servant got up in the morning, verse 15, we're in 2 Kings 6:15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host come past the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Or how are we going to get out of this one? What are we going to do? It's just two of us. And yeah, they couldn't have made it. No way. Surrounded. They might as well come out with the red flag and surrender to the enemy. Verse 16, and he answered, the servant of God, the wise servant of God answered and said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. I appreciate what Sister Marcia shared about the angels, that angel that came to her when her key was locked in the car, that can feel kind of anxious and just waved his hand over the lock. How many times have God not sent angels and we've not been aware of saints? Bible says that the angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him. And that's what was occurring here. Elisha feared the Lord. This servant of the Lord feared the Lord. And Elisha, verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, there's power in prayer, saints. Don't ever give up and say, oh, they're gone into the world, they're dying. Let's just, no, pray, pray. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, doubt sees but foes, but faith sees the heavenly legions. Amen? Yes, amen. It's important to keep in prayer, saints. So when we keep in prayer, we're going to see what's for us. We're going to feel strengthened, encouraged, not dismayed. But when we lack in prayer, fear is going to try to seize upon us and cause us to doubt and cause us to fear. Oh, let's keep on praying, saints. And we're thankful for those that are praying for us, that God will open our eyes to see all that is for us, saints. You have so much for you. You have so much for you. Fear not. God is with you. Amen? Amen. Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. What is the answer to our fears? Seek the Lord. Don't miss worship services. Amen. Make it a priority. Kick everything to the side and be in service. Time to pray at your home. Time to read. Time to spend time in family worship. Make it a priority. Your salvation depends on it. Cry unto the Lord and he will deliver you. He's delivered me many times. I thank the Lord for it. Psalm 55, verse 4. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Terrors of death. You know why so many people rush to the hospital, to the doctor? They don't want to die. I haven't gone to a doctor in 23 years. I haven't taken any medication in 16 years, but yet I was raised in a faith that didn't believe that God healed any longer. I don't speak that to the condemnation in anybody. I don't know what I'll do if I'm in an accident. I don't know what I'll do if I fall and break my arm. To what extent I'll seek help. But I hope that I will trust in the Lord. Psalm 55, verse 4. My heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Many people are afraid to die. You know, if I was afraid to die, I would not be preaching in Tijuana, Mexico. But I go, woo, let them shoot now. Cross into the gates of glory, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you really believe you're going to go to heaven when you die? Do you really believe that the grace of God is sufficient to help you through the pain? The martyrs were burned. They died for Jesus. And we're afraid of a wimpy little whatever is going on. Oh, Lord, help us. I said, Lord, help me if I'm in an accident to trust in you. Yes, they're going to pick me up and take me to the ambulance to do surgery on me, and they might do something that I don't want done, but help me to trust in you, Lord. Amen. Help me to have faith. Amen. Don't be afraid of death. Have confidence that God will heal you. Have confidence that if it's not your time, you're not going. Don't worry about it. The doctor can't stop it anyway. Amen. Someone was just telling me that when somebody dies because they trusted in God, they go, oh, they're bad people. Ooh, but if somebody dies trusting the doctor, they don't bat an eye. I'd rather die trusting in God, amen? Because I'm sweeping into the gates of heaven because I'm trusting in the blood of Jesus. I believe I'm saved. Praise the Lord, amen. I don't fear the future. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, Ecclesiastes 12, 1, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Oh, you know what? I'm going to wait. I believe this is the church of God. I believe my aunt Shasha is saved. And I know she's true, and I'm going to follow her example once I get older. How do you know you're going to get older? Accidents on the freeway happen all the time. You can be swept out without even being able to say, Lord, and you're gone. Don't wait till it's too late. Don't say, oh, you know what? In my family, they live to be 100. Yeah, but there's accidents. That wacko person might shoot a shooting in Walmart where you're at and kill you. I'm not trying to put fear into you. I'm telling you, remember now thy creator. Now is the time to come kneel and bow before the Lord. Don't wait till you're in Walmart and they're shooting everybody. You might not have time to really repent. You might not be in the spirit to do it. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now the creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Verse 5. And when they shall be afraid. Don't wait till you're afraid and fearful. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall in the way, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. What if you have Alzheimer's, and you forget how to speak? It's going to be too late then. Let's do it now. Are you saved? You have issues that you need to resolve? Let's do it now. When the Alzheimer's hits, you might forget about the issue and it'll be unresolved. Ecclesiastes 12:6. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken, this line of life will be broken one day. 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Don't be afraid to give your heart to the Lord. Be afraid not to do it. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. It speaks about those that were fearful of death and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Many are afraid of death and they're subject to a bondage. They're fearful people. And I thank the Lord that he's taken away that fear from me. I have the natural fear. You come behind me while I'm gardening and say, Brother Tony, ah! I'll shout. But I'm not afraid of the things that I shouldn't be afraid of. I'm trusting in the Lord, amen? Praise his glorious name. But there's one that can take away the sting of death, which is sin. Jesus Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Saints, do you believe it? Do you believe that when you die, one day you're going to resurrect? Do you believe it? Do you believe that when you die, your soul keeps on living? If you're, like Paul said, I'm betwixt two, to stay here, it is profitable to you, or to go and be with Christ. Do you believe that your soul is going to be with Christ? Then you're not going to fear the future. You're not going to fear to go out and preach the word of God, fearing that they might kill you, or a dog might bite you, or you might get sunburned, whatever. I just love this. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? There was one time a missionary that went from the United States to Mexico and was coupled with another missionary. They were going to do work together, and his native companion from Mexico came into the room, and he had in his hand a black scorpion. And those, if they sting you, you can die immediately. I don't know what all happens, but you can die. And he said, here, you want to hold it? And the American missionary said, no way. He goes, no, go ahead and get it. No. He says, don't worry, I cut off his stinger. It can't sting you, I cut it off. It's harmless without a stinger. Saints, when we serve the Lord, the sting of death has been taken away. That sin that's going to cause a great sting in hell is taken away. Praise the Lord, amen. There was one time, a dad and his little boy, they were in a garden. There were a lot of beautiful flowers, and there was a bumblebee flying around, and the boy was trying to shoo it away, and it kept on following him. And finally, the dad did like this, got it, held it, and then let go of it. And the little boy was still afraid of it. And the dad said, don't worry about it. See right here, I got the stinger. Once it stings you, it's just stuck in there, and it couldn't hurt the little boy. And our Savior says, fear not. I am with thee. Don't fear death. Do you have cancer? Do you have a fatal illness? Fear not. I'm going to be with you. Do I go through the valley of shadow of death? I shall not fear. Fear not. I want to tell you, fear not. We can trust him. He says, fear not. Jesus on the cross, when he was nailed, spikes in his hands and his feet, and was whipped and bled, that precious saving blood. By grace you are saved, not of works, lest we should boast. We trust in him. It's included in the package that we know that we don't have to fear death. May the Lord help us. Amen. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy grave? Where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? These are very sobering verses that I'm about to read. Revelation 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, you say, oh, I'm not killing anybody, I'm not stealing, I'm going to serve the Lord in the future. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Oh, Lord, help us. Oh, I don't want to fear to do what God wants me to do. I don't want to fall in this category. Lord, help thou my unbelief. 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Do you have the power of the Holy Spirit? If you do, you'll have power over fear. Yes. Fear will visit us. But we don't have to sit it down and make it a resident with us. Amen? And one last verse. We're all familiar with this. I love it. I've always loved it. 1 John, Epistle of John, chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect. We as saints believe in perfection. Oh yeah, we have shortcomings. We make mistakes, but we believe in a sanctification, a perfection. The Bible says, be perfect even as my Father in heaven is perfect. We believe in that type of perfection. Carnality and depravity being taken out, perfecting holiness in us. There is no fear in love, but perfect love. The old saints used to call sanctification perfect love. There is no fear in love, for perfect love casteth out fear. Listen, casteth out fear. When our service is made out of love, there's no fear. We do it out of love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Are you doing what you're doing because you're afraid of the saints and what they're going to say? Are you doing what you're doing because you're only afraid of hell? That's a good reason, and it's good to not offend the saints. But may it be that you have the love of God, and that we do it because we love Him. Yes, we have a godly fear, but we're not afraid to do God's will. We're not doing it out of fear of being afraid. We're doing it because we love the one that is so precious to us. God bless you, saints.